Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
Well, hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you each for bearing with us last week in our very, very first simulcast. How many of you were here? Yeah. Praise God, your prayers were answered. It actually worked. Despite all the odds, it actually worked. And so I'm glad to be with you, and I'm glad that you're able to see the wonderful family that we have at High Ridge Fort Worth. They were praying for you, and they really enjoyed being able to connect with you in a more real yet virtual way. Also want to say very special congratulations. I wasn't able to be here last week to tell you congratulations. For those of you that finished the life material in your group and you're able to go through the life retreat, where are you guys at? That's what I'm talking about. Did you have a great time? Was it awesome? We heard some good reports. There's some amazing, wonderful, powerful things that were happening, and that is always good news to a pastor. Also, all the men that were able to attend the Gateway Men's Summit, you guys were able to hang out with the other men. That's what I'm talking about. Heard some great reports from that as well, and trust me, if we had the budget that Gateway did, we'd have an amazing show today too. Why can't we have these kind of lights? I don't have $22 million, that's why. But if you write the check, I will put those lights in this room. Just listen to the Lord, I'm just saying. No, we're going to continue on with our You Asked For It series. This is a series based upon the questions that many of you have sent in. We also had some questions left over from last year that we never were able to get to. And as we're dealing with that, I was reminded of just the importance of being able to ask questions. You know, our the capital C, the church, the history of the church, got into its worst moments when it no longer allowed people to ask questions to get the real answers that they needed. When the Bible was not able to be translated into an everyday common language, people had major issues. It's called the Dark Ages. And so it's important for us to be able to get real-time answers to our questions. The church, I think, has failed to be able to just give people the answers to the questions that they need for their life. And so we want to make sure that we're able to do that for you. And I was reminded of the importance of that as we were spending time in our staff meeting on Tuesday. What we did is we did an entire session on just defending your faith. And I gave our staff the top 20 most asked questions that deal with church and theology, the questions that people are asking today. And I wanted to make sure that our staff knows how to answer someone. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3, it says that we are to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone. Somebody say everyone. Who ask you to give the reason for the hope that you have. That's saying that for each of us, wherever we go, whatever you're doing, there ought to be a moment where people that don't know Jesus ask you, why do you have so much hope? Where does your hope come from? Why are you different? Why do you behave differently when things are happening like this on the job? What is it that's so different about you? And Peter says, be sure that you're ready to give an answer when they ask those questions, because there should be something different about your life. But I think many Christians all too often live their lives with zero answers. We don't know how. Or we're too afraid to give an answer when someone asks a question. What if I don't know? I don't know what happened to this, and I don't know how that works, and I'm not sure what the Greek is on that. I don't know. And so we end up living in fear. But Peter says, always be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you, to give a reason for this hope that you have. But, and I want you to notice this, he says, do this with gentleness and respect. That is really, really important. If you're an underliner in your Bible, underline those two words, gentleness and respect. Our dialogue, especially on social media, has lost gentleness, and it has said goodbye to respect. And the people in this world that are looking for answers to the hope that we have can't get past the fact that we don't answer many times with gentleness or respect. We may answer correctly and have the complete wrong attitude and completely negate the truth that we've given. You see, the truth is of very little value if it's not done in love, if it's not done with gentleness and respect. And Jesus was so concerned with this. And as a matter of fact, in John 17, as he's praying, as he's spending time right before his own crucifixion, and he's thinking about the disciples and how they're going to be left alone, he says, God, I pray that you would sanctify them with truth. And your word, Lord, your word is truth. Let them know your word. Let them know what's true. Let them know the answers and sanctify them by the fact that they know the truth. Our churches and the state of the church across the country has forgotten how to fall in love with the Word of God. We've neglected the truth. And so we've not had the answers that our world is looking for. That needs to change, and it's going to change here. We're going to do our part to make sure that's done. So as we were getting into all the different questions, number one, we didn't get to celebrate mothers the way that I would like to celebrate them last week. I did the best that I could over the simulcast, but I want to make sure that you know how much we honor you and how much we love you, and I don't want to just gloss over that. You are a big deal. And so I wanted to make sure that we were able to do that. And so we put together all the questions related to women's issues. We kind of put those into one to one message today. And so if you're if you've written any of those questions, today is for you. We were specifically asked, is the Bible misogynistic? It's very easy for us to see that from the way that the Bible uses a lot of men in some powerful roles. Are women allowed in ministry? I was asked, does this church allow women into ministry? And I thought, you know, I have not done a very good job of giving proper credit to all the women that serve in critical roles at this church. And so I'm going to do a better job of that in the future. I'm going to make sure that you understand that it is not just men that lead this church. We have some powerful women as well. This church has a history of using women in powerful roles. And we're going to make sure that that is featured a little bit better so that you understand that we don't believe that the women are the weaker sex, but God can use anybody. Anytime that he wants. He uses men and women all the time to proclaim his word, to show his grace. And we want to make sure that we know that this church is not a church that believes that the women's role is just in the home. Come on. Does this church let women do ministry? So I've not done a very good job at giving the proper credit to all the women that make this church work. And it's just impossible for this church to move forward without women that do some amazing things. And so just let me take a moment if I can. I wanted to recognize, if you are a female, one of our worship leaders, if you're one of our group leaders, team leaders, ministry leaders, would you guys stand up and let us applaud you for just a moment? That's what I'm talking about. Thank you for working so hard. I also want to recognize downstairs dealing with our big kids ministry is Allison Holloway. She's amazing. Back at the check-in desk, you're going to run into Amber Payne, who's also amazing. And she's dealing with the little kids. We also have Ashley Defer, who's dealing with our creative arts ministry. These guys do amazing work. All the stuff that you see here is from an amazing creative arts team that she leads. We also have Grace LeMaster running First Impressions, making sure that people are welcomed from the moment that they get here. And she does a fantastic job with that. And of course, the many women that we have on our mission field. Peggy Thornton, you're here with us today. We want to say thank you that you're here. We have some others that have been on the mission field as well. Some powerful women that have been used by God that stand as equals right next to their husband and do things that only through the supernatural power of God could be accomplished. We celebrate you today. And so I would be remiss if I stood up here and answered all the questions related to women's issues. So as you can tell, I've got three chairs here. And so please help me welcome to our platform, if you would, three of our women leaders. Here comes my own wife. This is Tina Ingram, who leads in our discipleship volunteer and children's. Here's Julie Englert that helps lead our worship ministry. And of course, Hannah Williams that leads in our children's ministry. These are amazing leaders. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, come on. So they're going to answer the questions that deal with women's issues because they can do that much better than I can myself. So I'm going to get out of the way. But we'll just kind of do it interview style if we could. And sweetheart, we'll start with you. If we could. My wife, in case you don't know, she leads our what we call our growth track, which is our discipleship ministry, making sure that people understand what the next step is. She is also the oversight for children's ministry. So if you have complaints, those don't go to me. No, go to her. And then, of course, overseeing First Impressions and Grace LeMaster. So if you would, one of the questions that we had is, how do you make a blended family work? For those that don't know, you and I don't have children together. I have children from my first marriage. But yet, you do a fantastic job in making the blended family work. We've seen a lot of blended families become kind of the new norm for our church, in case you guys haven't noticed. But couples that were divorced but actually working and worshiping together. Here at this church, finding a way to make it work, we've become a church that's been attractive to blended families and watching God heal people that others thought could never be fixed. And so that also brings a new set of issues. But would you tell us, how do you make a blended family work? You do a great job at that.
Well, let me just say that no matter what, it's going to be awkward at first.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, no matter what, there's four people that have to get to know each other on a way more intimate level than you would ever normally do. And so it's always going to be awkward. But the biggest thing I would say is that you always have to show honor.
It's good.
Always show honor, no matter what they do, no matter how much you disagree. The biggest thing, one of the first things that I noticed about Tim is when we were dating, I taught for 19 years and I saw so many parents, whether on purpose or accidentally, use their children against each other.
Yeah.
And talk bad about the other parent in front of the kids. And it just tears the children apart. Because they love both parents. Yeah. They don't just love one. And it hurts. It hurts the kids the most. And one of the things that I loved the most about him, or even respected before I even came to love him, was that I never heard him say one bad word about his ex-wife. Not to anybody, not just to the kids. And he would defend her to people that started bashing her. And that was one of the things that just drew me to him at first. And I think that's so important, no matter what someone has done to you. And this actually doesn't have to be just a blended family. This can be anybody. But always speak with honor, knowing that the Lord can deal with what's in their heart.
Yeah.
But let the Lord deal with you and speak honor to them. Whenever you're speaking to another parent, one of the other bonus parents or anybody, just make sure that you speak with respect, and whether you agree with them or not. And when you do disagree, because it will happen, speak with honor, but fight clean.
Good.
Don't dig up things from the past. You don't need that. And
we've seen with parents, especially those that are just maybe recently divorced or having to deal with that they get so dramatic, so emotional, that they end up saying some things that are really painful, especially in front of their children.
Yes.
I had one parent that says, "Well, we start getting hysterical, then we start getting historical, bringing up all the things that you did against us." And, you know, you and I just determined from the beginning that we were never going to do that.
Yeah.
That we were going to try something different. So.
Yes. And that's one of the biggest things. Don't throw insults around, even if the kids aren't there. But especially if the kids are there, the kids are always watching. I mean, you guys know you can be having a quiet talk in the front seat. And then all of a sudden, one of the kids pipes up in the back seat and asks you a question about what you were talking about 30 minutes ago.
Ooh.
So, You guys know kids are always watching. They're always listening. So just remember that and always speak with honor to each other. And I have a scripture. It's from Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths,
good,
but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And can I add one more thing?
Hey, you got the microphone. You do whatever you want.
One of the best things about showing honor to someone, whether they are showing honor back or not,
good,
is that in Exodus 14:14, it says the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Just know that the Lord sees it all. He knows. He knows your heart. And eventually, whether you see it or not, God is moving in the situation. So trust the Lord that He will fight your battles for you. And you don't have to. You can just let your kids see you showing honor to other people.
Man, that's good. How about a hand for my brilliant wife? Isn't she awesome? You nailed it. Good job. You just take over. You could preach next week. That was good. Next up is Miss Hannah Williams, who leads in our children's ministry. She does an amazing job. Hannah, if you would, you've been very public, sharing some of the issues that you and your husband have had to walk through with having to bear children and not being able to do things that lots of people at this church were able to do, having biological children. One of the questions that we have is, how do you lead so well in the ministry that you're in, and you're able to do that and minister to kids that didn't grow up inside of you, that you guys weren't able to do biologically, but you're still able to do that and do it really, really well. Can you share with us, what about when the times when God doesn't come through? We've had a history in this church of fertility issues and watching some fantastic miracles that God has done on behalf of some families that were begging for children. But then we've seen others that never got that. So how do you still love the Lord and love well when you don't get the answer that you're looking for? Would you share?
Yeah, great question. For those of you who do not know, my husband and I have 5 children, and they are all adopted. So we've never had any biological children. I have counseled some women through this, and the first thing that I tell women is, it's okay to grieve.
That's good.
I think a lot of times we feel like in the church that we have to have this, like, holy demeanor all the time. We have to have this, like, righteous, I don't know, something about us where we have to be this strong. And I just look at people and say, you know what? Jesus wept. He went to Lazarus, and he wept for his friend who had died and with people. And yeah. I just don't really believe that you've got to keep that all in. Don't live there. Don't live in grief.
Good.
But grief. And let people in. I didn't just fall apart at a grocery store to like a clerk or anything. Don't let that many people in. but let a few in. Your husband. Keep unity with your husband. This is hard, hard, hard on him. And you, excuse me. The devil wants your marriage.
Come on.
Okay? He wants it. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
So if you are out of unity with your spouse because of something that's really hard, and this really goes for anything, financial, anything like that, but the devil wants your marriage. He wants you to not have unity with each other. Mm-hmm. And he was going to come in, he's going to root, and he's going to dig, and he's going to tear you apart. So do not be in disunity with your spouse.
That's good.
It doesn't matter which way the infertility falls. My husband and I never went and determined that. We didn't want that in our marriage. So we don't know.
No finger pointing, no blaming.
No. So it's hard. But continually pray, continually be in unity together. Stay in community. This one is also hard. I don't know how many baby showers I've been to, y'all, and hosted. And that's hard on somebody who hasn't birthed a child.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what. You go, you buy that present, and you hug that mom-to-be. Because that's a faith step right there. You're allowing God to work in you to bless somebody else. And you never know what God is doing. Bottom line. So please go. Please stay in community. Please do not shut yourself off and say, this is really hard and I don't want to do this. It is really hard,
right.
But you need to do it.
Right.
You need to do it because you are going to build yourself up. You're going to build your faith. You're going to, you never know who you're going to bless. You never know who else is going through an issue. And you walk in that shower and they're like, wow, I know what she's going through. And she's sitting in the shower.
Come on.
Builds my faith, you know? So please don't get out of community. Find your people. Be part of something bigger than yourself because God's got a plan.
Yes, he does.
A couple of years in to, because, you know, you get married and you have the plan, right? So we got married and we had the plan, and my whole family, if you don't know my family, we're the Chemacs, and we just birth babies like it's our job, right? Okay? All of my brothers and sisters have like 5 to 6 kids each. So James and I got married, and we were like, okay, we're going to wait a year, and it's going to be wonderful, and we'll just be to ourselves, and then we'll start having babies, right? So that was the plan. And about year 4 or 5, I was like, the plan's not working. The plan's, something's off with the plan. And I remember looking at my husband and saying, I don't know why this is happening to us, but I do believe that I'm supposed to be a mother. Like, God put that in me from a very young age. Mm. And so I wasn't going to sit back and just say, oh, poor, pitiful me, you know, God, maybe God doesn't want me to be a mom, or start second guessing. I was like, no, God wants me to be a mom. He knows the desire of my heart. And so I looked at my husband and I said, maybe God wants us to build our family in a different way. And that's really hard to get your mind around. Mm-hmm. And my sweet husband was like, okay, well, what does that mean? And we started praying. And so I will encourage you, if you're going through this, pray for how God wants him to build your family. Yeah. It's not going to necessarily look like what you thought it was going to look like.
That's good.
It may not look like that. Mm-hmm. So continually pray and ask God, like, what are you doing in this season? Like, what do I need to be doing? What steps do I need to be taking in this season? And I'll just share a story if I can to close. I remember, because it happened a lot, but probably 4 or 5 years into our marriage, I was sitting on our bed crying. You know, it was that time, and we weren't pregnant that month or whatever. And I was just sitting on our bed crying. I looked at my husband. I said, the plan was we were supposed to have 3 kids by now, you know, 5 years into marriage. And I was just in tears. And, you know, I was like, God knows the desires of my heart. We're supposed to have 3 kids. I just kept on saying that, like, why don't we have our 3 kids? We're supposed to have our 3 kids. Probably 6 months later, we had been in the process of fostering, getting ready to foster, because we felt like that's where God was moving us. And 6 months later, guess what walks into my house? Three beautiful children. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And did I birth them? No. But God knew. And not only did he know, I mean, he could have brought me a baby and I wouldn't have cared. Yay, one baby. He heard me say 3. And he knew. So it may not be the way you think it's going to be, but it's going to be beautiful, whatever God does. So you stick with it and you talk to me if you need to.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How about that? I want to make sure that we speak also a hot button issue in our culture, especially the past couple of weeks, is the issue of abortion, getting rid of unwanted babies. Let me just say on the record as well that you cannot be pro-life and be against adoption. Those two things, you can't separate them. If you're going to say this child deserves to live, we have to be willing to stand behind families that are willing to grow the non-traditional way as well. Adoption is a perfect picture of what God's done for us. And so each of us have been adopted. It's part of who we are, spiritual heritage as well. And so I love the fact that our church has not neglected the orphan. And we still stand in agreement with you guys. We love what you're doing and what's happening in the not just the blended families, but the non-traditional families. The things that God has done there has been phenomenal. Glad to have you with us. Miss Julie Englert helping leading in our worship ministry. Always amazing. Julie, you have a role here in our worship ministry, leading alongside your husband. Also, you do a lot of administrative stuff for us during the week. In case you didn't know, Julie is also mother to 3. And we would say 4 if Pastor Chris didn't have such an amazing beard. Great mustache.
Mustache now.
Amazingly, you do so well. And one of the questions that we have comes about speaking about balance. How do you balance between ministry, marriage, having children, and also here over the past couple of years, you've been able to balance your health really, really well, which is something I think a lot of our women struggle with, and just saying, hey, how do I balance all this stuff and make time for the things that are important? How do I know which things are more important? Would you talk a little bit about balance and what that means to you? Does that ring true for you? How do you do that?
Absolutely. I actually don't think about my life like it's a balance. When I think about the responsibilities and the things that God's called me to do, and none of us get to do just one thing.
Right.
We have to do a lot of things. If you're married, you have another person. If you have children, you've got that. If you have a career, all of those things, and other relationships as well. So when I think about balance with my responsibilities, if it's a balance, then I feel like I'm balancing on one point,
like,
and if
teetering.
I make one, and if I make one wrong move, everything falls apart. So instead of that, I kind of think about the biblical perspective of choosing to build your house on a rock or on sand.
That's good.
So
that's good.
Instead of adding something to a teetering plate, I've really tried to take the model of setting a really strong foundation. And God's taken me through different seasons of getting to establish parts of that foundation that's prepared me to step into a larger place of leadership.
Good.
So the first one was my relationship with God and knowing that everything I do is going to be to bring him glory, including everything that comes after that.
That's a solid foundation.
That's right. And you really can't. That's the first one is we set our life on Jesus, who we are in him and our purpose in him. And then I was able to add marriage to that. And at that point, I could have tried to push for stepping into ministry. I went to Bible school. I set that. I had time to establish my gifting and calling. But then it was time to establish marriage. And the Lord said, I want you to learn how to do your money. I want you to learn how to talk to your husband in a kind and loving way and how to be in unity in everything
Good.
You do.
Good.
Knowing that we were called to do ministry together, establishing unity was going to be really important. So when it was time to start having kids, it was the same thing. The Lord said, I want you to love your children. I want you to hold your babies. And I want you to be in community with other moms
Good.
And encourage one another on those things. And every once in a while, I kind of wanted to jump forward and try to grab something bigger, farther along that I knew that God had called me to do. But every time the Lord asked me to be patient, to spend time establishing a part of that foundation. And then Pastor Tim came along, and there was a season where everything sped up, and I got to say yes to some of the things that God put in my heart a long time ago. And when God started to clarify the vision for my life and leadership and our life as a family, I realized that there was something I hadn't established way back before, and that was my physical health. That was being able to have the stamina and the energy I knew it was going to take to jump like a crazy woman up here, to lead a team of over 40 people, to live my life in front of people. I knew that I didn't have the energy to do it at the place that I was with the disciplines that I had with my physical health. And so I got a chance to reestablish that. So over the last couple years, I've lost 50 pounds and run a couple half
Come
marathons
on, somebody.
And all that kind of stuff. And that's not bragging. Like, seriously, if you had known me as a kid who was so afraid of any physical difficulty, it's not about the accomplishment or the weight loss. It's about saying yes to challenge and yes to difficulty, knowing that my purpose was awesome. So none of that was rooted in self-hatred. My mom set such a great example of having an amazing self-image. I didn't have that problem. I knew that if the calling that God had on my life, that I had to make sure that I was going to be here for the long haul. And so that's the reason why I made those choices. So
that's amazing. How about a hand for Julie? Thank you. I appreciate each and every one of you being so open and transparent, sharing your story. I know that these have come through some really difficult things to be able to share that and to do it with a smile on your face and to be able to share that in front of people. That's not easy. And so your church and your church family appreciates that very much, of your openness and honesty, authenticity. Thank you very much for that. I was doing some research in preparation for a week where we could, you know, celebrate the role of women in ministry, women in leadership at this church, and also just women's role in the Bible. And I thought, you know, there's some powerful things that we don't get taught very much about the role of the woman in the Bible. We tend to skip past a lot of those stories, but as a matter of fact, the very first woman ever that became a missionary, it was a female. The first missionary in the Bible was female. When Jesus talks to the woman at the well and sends her to an unreached people group, giving her the story of redemption, the very first missionary is female. The very first evangelist was the people that carried the story of the gospel were the ladies at the tomb, where they see that Jesus is alive and go back and begin to encourage and strengthen other people. The very first person to ever be shamed and criticized for Jesus was his own mother, Mary, being pregnant and yet not necessarily married to Joseph at that moment. The very first person to ask Jesus for a miracle, female. The very last person Jesus ever ministered to, of course, was his own mother when he's hanging on the cross and makes sure he says, you know, woman, behold thy son, and John, take care of my mom. She needs you. The very first thing that I never thought of it this way, but the very first thing that God said about creation that was not good was the fact that there was no woman.
Yeah.
Think about that. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. God said everything in creation was good except for one thing, not having a woman there. This is not good. Very first person to ever be attacked by Satan was the woman. You know, he tempts her with the fruit. And I heard someone say one time, I'm glad that they weren't Cajun, because they would have said, hey, forget that apple. Let's eat this snake. All of Jesus's enemies were men. I don't know if you thought about that, but there's no recorded females that stand in opposition to Jesus. In Luke 8, verse 3, it's the only recorded verse where it says the ladies supported Jesus financially. It never gives an account of any male supporting Jesus financially, but it says the ladies did this out of their own means. Look at that. Look it up, Luke 8, verse 3. I was surprised at that. But then also the scripture that really got me this past week looking at it is the very first person to put a name on God was not Abraham, but Hagar, who says, you are the God that sees me. So she was cast out and alone, having to raise a child by herself, wondering how they're going to survive. And she calls upon God and she said, God, you're the God that sees me. And so I want to just take a moment, just kind of pause right there and celebrate not only how God made us uniquely different, but the fact that no matter who you are, that you have a God that sees you. He knows exactly what you're walking through. He knows your issues. He knows your problems. He knows your wins, your losses, your failures, your strengths, because he sees. Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, it's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to HighRidgeLV.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.